بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Ikhwan, we continue then with the jalasat and our sittings, Ikhwan, with the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The seerah and the narrations, ayyuhal ikhwa, that we, each and every one of us as Muslimun, really should be aware of, since the sunnah and many aspects of the sunnah are contextualized, and we understand them in the light of that which occurred, ikhwan, and that which took place from the beginnings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being sent as a messenger up until the time that Allah Azza wa Jal took his blessed soul. In the last session, we discussed some of the individuals who were the earliest of the Muslimun who embraced in the early period in Mecca, and we said that us analyzing them and being acquainted with them, there is in it benefit, since our knowledge of those who embraced Islam from an early period and our study of an analysis of who they were connected to, who they were related to, in that is benefit for the da'i, in that he understands and he sees clearly that those who embraced first and foremost were those who were closest to the Messenger of Allah, individuals who were relatives, individuals who were close friends, and then their relatives and friends. Of course, we had the great efforts and the great da'wah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he was responsible for many of the greatest of the muhajirun, those who, from them, the Ashra, the Mubashireen, yani the bulk of them, and many other individuals from among those who were considered from the earliest and the greatest of the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim. The da'wah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, and him utilizing and contributing his wealth to the establishment of the deen and the early establishment of the deen was something that the Messenger of Allah praised and mentioned concerning Abu Bakr. And so the da'i, ikhwan, he benefits from that period or analyzing exactly who they were. And we said, ikhwan, that as far as the individuals or those who embrace, who were early to embracing and accepting Islam, that it is not true to say that they were all just yani slaves, or that they were the poor and the weak. Yani there were many noble notables from the tribe of Quraysh that embraced, and off the back of them embracing, other individuals were inspired to turn towards and look at Islam. And we see then that there was a wave of individuals who heard the da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ and embraced, and then a number of them who heard the da'wah was inspired privy to the early revelations of the Quran, were able to listen to that, to hear that, and to reflect upon that which was present within it from eloquence and beauty, and then turn around and rejected that. And we'll see an example of that, inshallah, in that which is to come in this sitting. So we said, ikhwan, that just as we had a'imma from among the Sahaba, the earliest of those who embraced and went on to become from the leaders of the Muhajirun, and we had those early companions who embraced, we similarly had, ikhwan, a'immatul kufr. At the same time, beside them, there were a'immatul kufr. And as we mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ, when the da'wah was sirri, and when the companions took refuge after the initial killing that took place, as we said, there was a killing, ikhwan, that took place when the companions used to pray in the shi'ab, and in the passageways in Mecca. Something occurred with one of the kuffar of Quraysh. A number of them came across a number of the companions praying, and among them was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, and they attempted to attack the believers while they prayed. And so Sa'd, he took the head of his donkey and he threw it at the head of one of those who were attacking him and killed him. And that was the initial or the first of the killings that took place in the early part of Islam. And on the basis of it, the companions, they took refuge in the house of Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam. And that then, Darul Arqam, was the first, as we mentioned, the first place that the da'wah was spread, in the first place that the Prophet ﷺ would teach the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim, the deen, and that which came down from the ayat of the Qur'an that were revealed. the A'imma then, or those leaders from among the A'imma of Kufr, Ikhwan at the head of them was the likes Ikhwan of Abu Lahab. And Abu Lahab, Ikhwan, was, as occurs in some narrations, he was from those who were bold in rejecting the message and rejecting the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, he was at the head of those who used to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he would give da'wah in the mawsim. That is, in the mawsim of Hajj, or in the period of Hajj, the notables of Quraysh and the kuffar of Quraysh, they decided that they were not going to allow the Prophet ﷺ to spread his da'wah to the Hujjaj. And were not going to allow the Prophet ﷺ to speak to any of the individuals who approach from the various qaba'il and the various tribes of the Arab who would come during the period of Hajj. Since prior to the coming of the Messenger ﷺ, they would perform Hajj. They still had a knowledge of the rites of Hajj, and they were still acquainted with the fact that it was from the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But of course they opposed the Prophet and the messengers in their performance of Hajj. They would do so naked, and other than that, from the munkarat and from the evils that used to take place. But in any case, they decided, the kuffar of Quraysh, they decided that since the mawsim was the period of Hajj, which is known as the mawsim of Hajj, since it was a period that was well known among the Arab for one's ability to capitalize upon Mecca now being the nucleus of the qabail of the Arab, that the Arab from all over the Arabian Peninsula, that they would come to Mecca during that period. And anyone who wanted to capitalize, whether on business or other than that, then they would do so during the mawsim, during the period of Hajj. And so they knew that the Prophet ﷺ would have capitalized and utilized that period to give da'wah and to spread the da'wah. And so they decided that they were going to come together and they were going to prevent the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam from giving da'wah. And there is a narration, an authentic narration that occurs in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, wherein the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have an indication of the early da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rabi'a ibn Ibad al-Daili, he said, and he was an individual who was upon Jahiliyyah and he embraced. He said, Ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here, first and foremost, Rabi'a, he describes, Ikhwan, that which was taking place, or that which was occurring after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bearing in mind this was after the initial period of the da'wah being da'wah sirriya. We said that there was a period, some mentioned 3 years, and you'll find that common in the books of Sirah, though there isn't anything that establishes, anything authentic that establishes that it was definitely 3 years, but nonetheless it is something that is narrated and has been conveyed in a number of the books of Sirah, that after that 3 year period, and the Messenger was commanded, فَاسْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ, يعني, carry out that which you have been commanded, and proclaim the da'wah, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your close relatives. How did the Prophet ﷺ warn? Here, Rabi'a, he describes and informs of how the Messenger carried out that amr from the awamir of Allah Azza wa Jal. How did he carry out that command from the commands of Allah subhanahu? He said the Prophet ﷺ, he used to walk around the marketplaces, بسوق ذِلْ مَجَاز, ذِلْ مَجَاز, الْعُكَاظ, and other المجنة, were from the marketplaces in Mecca that were well known. And the marketplaces in Mecca were in particular areas that the people would go to and the people would buy it from. And individuals who had wares to sell would sell them in those marketplaces. So the Prophet ﷺ would go to those marketplaces since they were places of the gatherings of the people. And as Rabi'a, he mentions, يَقُولُ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُوا. That he used to walk around those marketplaces saying, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say, he used to say, oh people, say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and you will be successful. O people, say La ilaha illallah and you will be successful. He said, وَيَدْخُلُ فِي فِجَاجِهَا وَالنَّاسِ يَقْتَصُونَ عَلَيْهِ. He said, on an occasion, the Prophet ﷺ, he would enter some of the passageways, yani through the marketplaces and what have you, and the people would gather upon him or gather around him because he was making the proclamation, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا. They would come, they would gather to see what it was he was saying and what he was calling to. And so he mentions, فَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا يَقُولُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ لَا يَسْقُطْ. He said, and I didn't see, when this occurred, the people gathered around him, I didn't see anyone saying anything. And they were just looking and listening. And he would not remain silent. وَهُوَ لَا يَسْقُطْ. He said, يَقُولُ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُوا. He would continue saying, O people, say La ilaha illallah. Say there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah and you will be successful. Envision, ikhwan, the courage and envision the scenario that here we have one who was considered notable, considered from the greatest of the notables of Quraysh, min abna Abdul Muttalib. And from the offsprings of Abdul Muttalib, one who was considered Amin, trustworthy, truthful. Consider the fact that the statement in and of itself, ikhwan, for them was gharib. Why would he say this? Why would he make this call? And so the Messenger ﷺ, when he did so, ikhwan, it was something that indicates for every single da'i the courage and the bravery of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this particular narration, there is no mention of him being with companions. That he himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would go to those marketplaces and he would say, Ya ayyuhan nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. And that, no doubt, ikhwan, requires courage. It is, if you can imagine one of us, ikhwan, going to the city center and walking in the city center saying, O people, say la ilaha illallah. Say and declare that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah and you will be successful alone. You can imagine the courage, ikhwan, and the bravery that would take, knowing that the people are going to dispraise him, the people are going to speak ill of him, the people are going to maybe perhaps some of them would ridicule, and other than that, knowing that would take place, the Prophet ﷺ nonetheless carried out this great command and this great Amr from the affairs of the da'wah. He mentions, and so when he would do so, no one would say anything. Illa anna wara'ahu rajulan ahwal wadi al-wajh dha gharidatayn. He mentions, yaqul innahu sabi'i. He said, except that behind him there was a man, an ugly man, who had an impediment, or he had a deficiency, or he was bas'id, and he had a deficiency in his eye, and he was ugly, it mentions, and he had two plaits, which was one of the manners in which the Arab, they would style their hair. The men, they would plait their hair in two large plaits. And you, to this day, ikhwan, will still see that taking place. You still see some of the qabail, if you make hajj, that you'll still see some of the qabail, some of the deeper tribes in Saudi Arabia, you'll still see them making hajj, any individuals among them, with old style attire and with those two plaits that the Arab the manner in which they used to plait their hair. And so he said, behind them there was an ugly man, an ugly bas'id man with two plaits, saying he is Sabi'i. And Sabi'i was a term that they would use for someone who abandoned the religion of the mushrikun of Quraysh. And he would say that he is Sabi'i kadhib. He is Sabi'i and he is a liar. فقلت من هذا؟ And so I said, who is this? And so they said, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. They said, that is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. وهو يذكر النبوة. And he claims or he mentions prophethood. يعني, he mentions concerning himself that he's a prophet. قلت ومن هذا الذي يكذب؟ So I said, and who is this one that claims that he's a liar and is walking behind him? قالوا عمه أبو لهب. They said it is his uncle Abu Lahab. And so his uncle, his own uncle, would walk behind him while he would give da'wah, and that wouldn't prevent the Messenger from giving da'wah. He would continue to give da'wah, but he was walking, he would walk behind him saying, don't listen to him. And he is sabi'i kadhib. That he is one that has abandoned the religion that they were upon, and he is a liar. And so from among Ikhwan, the A'immatul Kufr, from among those who were from the leaders of Kufr at that time, or during the time of the da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ, we have a number of individuals and a number of names. And we'll mention them, Ikhwan, that we may be acquainted with them. As we mention, from the leaders of them, Abu Lahab, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, and the unfortunate reality is that a number of them, Ikhwan, they were related to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first of them we'll mention was Abu Lahab, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Lahab never embraced Islam. Since from those who were a'immatul kufr in the bidaya, in the beginning, from them who led the plight against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a number of them embraced. Some of them, their Islam was late, but a number of them embraced nonetheless. Similarly, from them was his cousin, Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith. And that is, not the popular Abu Sufyan, but another Abu Sufyan, who was a cousin of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As far as Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, then he embraced just before the conquest of Mecca. He embraced just before the conquest of Mecca. And Ahlul Ilm mentioned concerning him, Hasuna Islamu, that his Islam was good. And he embraced and he was upon Islam, and his Islam was good. Similarly, from the leaders and from the A'imma of Kufr, who fought against the Messenger of Allah, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, likewise, he was killed, him and his brother, both of them being leaders, Utbah and Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah, both of them were killed in the battle of Badr. Both of them were killed in the battle of Badr. Likewise, Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayyad was from among the A'imma and the leaders of the Kuffar. Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayyad was from among those who was taken as a prisoner of war during the Battle of Badr. He was initially taken, he was held captive, and then consequently the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded that he be killed. And so initially he was taken as a prisoner of war, and then he was ultimately killed. Similarly, we have Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, and Abu Sufyan, he embraced during the year of the conquest of Mecca, and likewise Al-Hakam ibn Abil As, ibn Umayyah, again, was from those who embraced during the conquest of Mecca, and their Islam was good. From them, another ibn al-Harith. Another ibn al-Harith similarly was taken, as was the case with Uqbah ibn Abil Mu'ayyad. He was taken as a prisoner of war during the Battle of Badr, and the Messenger likewise commanded that he be killed later. As far as the following individual, Abu al-Bukhtari or Abu al-Bukhtari ibn al-As ibn Hisham, he was from among those Ikhwan who, while he was from the A'imma of Kufr, his name is not mentioned as much as the others. He is present in and among those who made manifest Zulm against the Prophet ﷺ. Bearing in mind, we're mentioning here those whose dhulm was manifest. Those who participated in harming the believers. Whether the Prophet ﷺ or those who believed alongside him from the companions. Or that they commanded with harming them in some way or some form. Likewise, Abu Jahl, Ikhwan ibn Hashim, he, without doubt, as the scholars mentioned, was considered the Fir'aun of this ummah. The Fir'aun of this ummah, and he was at the head, Ikhwan, and from the worst of those who harmed and persecuted and commanded with the persecution of the believers. Kadhalika, Ikhwan, we have Al-'As ibn Wa'il. Al-'As ibn Wa'il, again, was from those who died before the battle or the conquest of Makkah, but he died a kafir. And so he was present, he died a disbeliever before. Of Amr ibn As. Abdullah ibn Amr and Amr ibn As. Likewise, from them, Ikhwan, Umayyah ibn Khalf. Umayyah ibn Khalf, he was killed during the Battle of Badr al-Kubra. The Battle of Badr, Ikhwan, occurred in essence. There were two stages of the Battle of Badr. You have al-Sughra and al-Kubra. Sughra was, if you like, a lead-up to al-Kubra. We'll discuss it naturally when we reach it in its place. But he was killed, Umayyah ibn Khalf was killed by Bilal radiallahu anhu during the Battle of Badr. Likewise, we have Al-Aswad ibn al-Muttalib. Al-Aswad ibn al-Muttalib ibn Asad, who again was from among those who were persecutors of the believers. He died before the Battle of Badr. And likewise, we have Al-Asad ibn Abd al-Yaghuth. And he again was from among those who died before the Battle of Badr. Another popular name and a qissa that we'll mention is the affair of Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira was from among the kuffar of Quraysh who were well known for his fasaha. In fact, he was considered the most fasih, or the most eloquent of the people of Mecca. The one that was most acquainted with the ash'ar of the Arab, with the poetry of the Arab. The one that was most acquainted even with the poetry of the jinn. Since the jinn, it was known, Ikhwan, that they had ash'ar. The jinn had poetry. And that the poetry of the jinn would be conveyed by the soothsayers to human beings. And so he was not only acquainted with the poetry of the human beings, but he was acquainted with the poetry, hatta, of the jinn. And there is a narration, Ikhwan, an authentic narration concerning him that was collected by Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak, the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who mentioned that Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira jaa ila al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqara alayhi al-Qur'an. He said that Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on an occasion, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the Qur'an to him. فَجَاءَ فَقَرَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنَ فَكَأَنَّهُ رَقَّ لَهُ. He said he recited the Qur'an to him, and it is as though he was softened to the Qur'an. That is to say, it was as though he was listening and he liked what he heard. And he was attracted by what he heard. He said, فَبَلَغَ ذَلِكَ أَبَا جَهَلْ. And so that was something that reached Abu Jahl. فَأَتَاهُ فَقَالَ يَا عَمْ إِنَّ قَوْمَكَ يَرَوْنَ أَنْ يَجْمَعُوا لَكَ مَالًا. قَالَ لِمَا؟ قَالَ لِيُؤْتُونَكَهَا. He said that indeed your people intend to gather for you. That is Abu Jahl when he approached him. He said your people intend, that is the Quraysh, to gather for you an amount of wealth to give it to you. And so he said, why? He said, in order to give it to you. Because of the fact that they were acquainted with the fact, or they recognized that he appeared to be interested in the Qur'an. He appeared to be attracted by the Qur'an. And so it is as though they had one of their najwa, or one of their gatherings, and they said, Waleed is apparently inclining, Ntebi. So I think we need to do something about him. And so they came together, because naturally if Waleed is attracted, and Waleed embraces, there is a mushkila for Quraysh. Waleed is afsahul Arab, the most acquainted with the poetry, the most acquainted with that which is related to their language and to fasaha and eloquence, and he embraced, based upon him listening to the Qur'an, that is a problem. That is a problem. That is, yani, equivalent to some specialists in our time, embracing Islam. Or, yani, someone who is at the head of, for example, religious science, or political analysis, or religious studies, or what have you. Someone who is at the qimma, and then he listens to Islam and the message of Islam and the Quran, and he embraces. Problem, mushkila. If he's the one that the nation returns back to, and he embraces, that is going to be a problem. So they approached, after consulting, they said that we should gather some wealth, give it to Waleed. And so they gathered an amount of wealth, and they said, so Abu Jahl approached Waleed and said, indeed your people intend to give you an amount. So he said, Lima, le, why? He said, just to give it to you. He said, فَإِنَّكَ أَتَيْتَ مُحَمَّدٍ قَالَ وَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ أَوْ وَقَدْ عَلِمَتْ قُرَيْشٍ أَنِّي مِنْ أَكْثَرِهَا مَالًا. He said, to give it to you because you've approached Muhammad. You've sat with him. So he responded by saying, but Quraysh knows that I am the wealthiest of them, yani, financially. They know. Yani, money isn't a problem for me. You gather money for me, money isn't a problem for me. He said, فَقُلْ فِيهِ قَوْلًا يَبْلُغُ قَوْمَكَ أَنَّكْ مُنْكِرٌ لَهُ. If that's the case, then make a statement that the people will know that you dislike him, that you're against him. He says something about the man. You're sitting with him and not making a statement. Make a statement. He said, أَوْ أَنَّكْ كَارِهٌ لَهُ. Some statement that they would understand and perceive from it that you dislike him, that you're not يعني, in support of his da'wah. He said, وَمَاذَا أَقُولُ. He said, and what should I say? فَوَاللَّهِ مَا فِيكُمْ رَجُلٌ أَعْلَمُ بِالْأَشْعَارِ مِنِّي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ بِرَجْزِهِ وَلَا بِقَسِيدِهِ مِنِّي وَلَا بِأَشْعَارِ الْجِنِّ وَاللَّهِ مَا يُشْبِهُ الَّذِي يَقُولُ شَيْئًا مِنْ هَذَا. He said, you know that there is not among you a man that is more acquainted with the poetry of the Arab than me, and not with its construction and with its form and with its beauty. And he said, and likewise with the poetry of the jinn. And he said, by Allah, that which he says doesn't resemble any of that. By Allah, his statements doesn't resemble anything from that. He mentions, وَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّ لِقَوْلِهِ الَّذِي يَقُولِ حَلَاوَةٌ. He mentions, وَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّ لِقَوْلِهِ الَّذِي يَقُولُهُ حَلَاوَةٌ. He said, by Allah, his statements have sweetness in it, in them. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْهِ لَطَلَاوَةٌ. He said, his statements are exquisite and good, and beautiful statements. He said, وَإِنَّهُ لَمُثْمِرٌ أَعْلَىٰ مُغْذِقٌ أَسْفَلَىٰ. He said that verily its uppermost part bears fruit, and its lower part is rained upon abundantly. And that was an expression that men, يعني, it is something that is blossoming, it is flourishing, it is beautiful. Its uppermost part bears fruit while its root is rained upon. He mentions, وَإِنَّهُ لَيَعْلُو وَمَا يُعْلَى. And of course, Ikhwan Waleed, Fasih. So even his description of what he heard in his Fasaha, he said that indeed it is uppermost and nothing transcends it. He said, وَإِنَّهُ لَيَحْطِمُ مَا تَحْتَهُ. And it will pulverize that which is below it. He said, قَالَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنْكَ قَوْمُكَ حَتَّى تَقُولُ فِي. حَتَّى تَقُولَ فِي. And so he said to him, يعني أبو جهل, your people will not be pleased with you until you make a statement concerning him. And so, consider. If you don't say, make a statement, then you're going to have problems. قال فدعني حتى أفكر. He says, then leave me to think and consider. فلما فكر قال هذا سحر يؤثر. And so when he thought, he considered, he said that this indeed is sihr. Yani this is the best result is magic. يأثره عن غيره, and he narrates it from someone else. That's yani that is the conclusion. It is magic, and he narrates it from someone else. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, ذرني ومن خلقت وحيدا. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayat. The narration continues. فأنزل الله تعالى في وليد ابن المغيرة وذرني ومن خلقت وحيدا وجعلت له مالا ممدودا وبنين شهودا ومهدت له تمهيدا ثم يطمع عن أزيد كلا إنه كان لآياتنا عنيدا. The statement of Allah عز وجل, leave me and the one who I created alone. Allah عز وجل mentions, I made for him or gave to him wealth in abundance and children by his side bearing witness. وَمَهَدْتُ لَهُ تَمْهِيدًا. And I made his life comfortable. ثُمَّ يَطْمَعُ أَنْ أَزِيدُ. And he desires that I increase him. Yani that I increase him in the wealth that I have given to him. Nay, indeed, he has been one that has been obstinate with the ayat. And with the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. Since the ayat were recited to him, he recognized its halawa, its talawa, he recognized it, يَحْطُمْ مَا تَحْتَهُ وَيُضْمُثْمِرْ مَا أَعْلَى. He recognized all of that, and then he considered, he heard the statement of Abu Jahl, recognized that he had to reject, and so he rejected. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed concerning him these verses, سَأُرْهِقُهُ سَعُودًا. That I shall make him indeed descend from Su'ud, which is as many of the scholars of Tafsir mention, it is a hill or a slippery slope in hellfire. And that the people of Jahannam will fall down into the hellfire. إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ نَظَرَ. ثم عبس وبصر. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that indeed, إنه فكر, that he thought and he considered. May he be cursed how he considered. Then may he be cursed how he considered. ثم نظر, and then he looked and thought. Then he frowned and became ill-tempered. Then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. And then he turned away and was filled with arrogance and pride. And that was the stage where Abu Jahl, when he approached him, he said, you must make a decision. He considered, he frowned, he turned away, he was arrogant, and then he made his statement, قال إن هذا إلا سحر يؤثر إن هذا إلا قول البشر. And then he said that indeed this is nothing but magic that he utters. And this is nothing but the statement of human beings. As it relates to this verse, or the part of the verse, Ahlul Ilm, from among them Imam al-Tahawi and others, have mentioned that that is one of the clearest indications and evidences of the fact that the Qur'an is kalamullahi ghayr makhluq, is the speech of Allah uncreated. Since Allah Azza wa Jal mentions concerning his statement, قَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ, then he mentioned that indeed this is nothing other than the statement of mankind, statement of human beings. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned concerning him, سَأُسْلِيهِ سَقَرْ, yani that I then shall cause him to enter saqar, the burning fierce flames. And since then his statement caused him to enter the fierce flames, that indicates the statement is shar, the statement is evil, and it's to say and to claim that this is nothing but the statement and the speech of human beings. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed those ayat in Surah Mudassir, and we learned in previous sessions that Surah Mudassir was from the earliest of the surah of the Quran. One of the things that may be analyzed likewise, ikhwan, when we're looking at that period, is that which is related to the ayat and to the verses that were revealed from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to the surah that were revealed from the Quran. Since the period was a period wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began giving da'wah, began calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and since that is the case, then the verses, of course, the da'wah is going to be based upon the Qur'an, upon the verses of the Qur'an. And from the earliest of the surah of the Qur'an, we have the revelation, ikhwan, of Surah Al-Ahqaf. Surah Al-Ahqaf was one of the surah, or one of the early verses, or early chapters that were revealed while the Prophet, or when the Prophet, or after the Prophet was commanded to convey, was commanded to approach his people and speak and address his ashira, yani his close relatives. And if you look at the manner in which Surah Al-Ahqaf and that which is present within it from its verses, we can see that Allah Azza wa Jal, in that which he revealed from the verses in Surah Al-Ahqaf, made the da'wah, or made it clear how the da'wah should be and what it should be based upon, and the, or some of the things that one should call to in the beginnings of his da'wah. Allah Azza wa Jal, from the beginnings of the surah Hameem, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ مَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Allah mentions that indeed we did not create after Hameem the revelation of the Qur'an from Allah al-Aziz al-Hakim. Allah mentions, indeed we did not create the heavens and the earth and that which is between them illa bilhaq wa ajal musamma, and or except in truth and a decreed term. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِضُونَ, and those who disbelieve, they turn away, or يعني they are مُعْرِضُونَ, يعني they are individuals who turn away from that which they are called to. And of course, ikhwan, the likes of Mughira and the other individuals that we mentioned from the A'immatul Kufr, there are numerous examples, ikhwan, of them turning away and of them belying the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقُوا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ أَمْ لَهُمْ شِرْكٌ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ إِيتُونِي بِكِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا أَوْ أَثَارَةٍ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, say, قُلْ, say to those, yani say to these individuals that you have been sent to call to and give da'wah to, say to them, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, these things that you call upon besides Allah, أَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقُوا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, show me that which they have created from the heavens. أَمْ لَهُمْ شِرْكٌ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, or do you have a partner in show me that they have created from the earth, or is it that they have a partner, yani with Allah in the heavens? إِيْتُونِي بِكِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا, إِيْتُونِي بِكِتَابٍ, bring me a book that was revealed before this, yani that allows and that justifies and legitimizes the shirk of yours. And so we see from the very beginning, Allah Azza wa Jal began by mentioning the affairs of rububiyyah. And as we have mentioned in previous sessions, the asl with the da'wah of the anbiya was that they used rububiyyah to call to uluhiyyah. The da'wah did not revolve around rububiyyah alone. Any of the affairs of creation, sustaining, the affairs of giving life and taking life, they didn't call to that alone, rather that was used to call to uluhiyyah. And so the first thing, or one of the first things that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the surah, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقُوا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. Yani, simple. That which you call upon besides Allah, show me what it has created. Since creation and the affairs of rububiyyah, the one who possesses rububiyyah and creation and has created that which is in the heavens and the earth and has created you, he is the one that is deserving of worship. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, show me what they have created in the heavens, or did I have a partner? Created on earth, or did I have a partner in the heavens? Bring a book before this one, or athara min ilm, or any trace of knowledge, if what you say is truthful. And so we have that initial da'wah revolving around this affair. Similarly, from the issues that were discussed in the ayah or in the surah, the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَإِذَا تُطْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ هَذَا صِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. And when the ayat or when the verses that are clear are recited to them, those who disbelieve, they say, this is clear magic. This is clear sihr. As was the case with Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. Even though they knew it wasn't sihr. They knew it wasn't magic, it was an excuse. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَى قُلْ إِنِ افْتَرَيْتُهُ فَلَا تَمْلِكُونَ لِي مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ كَفَى بِهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, as it relates then, after this affair of the statement that they say it is sihr, Allah mentions, or do they say that he has fabricated it? Are they saying that he's made it up, that he's fabricated it? That is their claim, then they do not possess, or they are not able to defend or aid me. Say to them, you are not able to aid me beside or in front of Allah, or before Allah. You are not able to protect me from Allah. Why would I create? Why would I write a book myself? Yani, that is from the ma'ani of the verse. And so Allah Azza wa Jal in these verses then mentions, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. Say, yani, say to them, I am not a bid'ah from the Rusul. I am not a new affair, something newly risen from the Rusul or from the Prophets or from the Messengers. وَمَا أَدْرِي, and I do not know what will be done with me and what will be done with you. إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. Verily, I do nothing but follow that which was revealed to me. وَمَا أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. And I am nothing but a clear warner. As far as the surah is concerned, then if anyone in one's own time returns back to the surah and read through the surah, you see the elements or the aspects and the issues that have been discussed within the surah, and how Allah Azza wa Jal establishes the da'wah by way of the revelation of these verses and the issues that were concentrated upon with the revelation of these verses from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an issue that is mentioned towards the end of the surah when Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and when we turn towards you, a group from among the jinn, يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, listening to the Qur'an, فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا, and when they were present, they said, be quiet, يعني listen. And when it was finished, they turned to their people as warners. This affair of Allah Azza wa Jal turning a group from among the jinn towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is something, Ikhwan, that is established in a hadith, and perhaps we will mention the hadith and round up with this narration. Though there is a longer narration that we will begin, bi-ithnillah, we'll begin next week's session with. The narration, Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he mentions, أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم داعي الجن. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by a caller from the jinn. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave da'wah, ikhwan, not only to Bani Adam, but to the jinn. And he gave da'wah to the jinn on numerous occasions, on more than one occasion. On an occasion, the group from among the jinn came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a delegation from among the jinn, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with them and gave them da'wah. On a separate occasion, the Messenger ﷺ went with Ibn Mas'ud, and that is the narration that we'll mention next week, inshaAllah. He went with Ibn Mas'ud to a meeting place on the outskirts of Mecca, met with them, sat with them, and gave them da'wah till Fajr. Till Fajr. And so we have numerous occasions when the Messenger ﷺ gave them da'wah likewise. And in this narration then, Ibn Mas'ud informs us, مَا سَحِبَهُ مِنَّا أَحَدٌ وَوَدِدْتُ لَوْ أَنِّي كُنْتُ مَعَهُ. He said, on that occasion, no one accompanied the Prophet ﷺ, يعني to go with them. He said, I wished that I had gone with him. He mentions, وَلَكِنَّا كُنَّا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى وَسَلَّمَ ذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ بِمَكَّةٍ فَفَقَدْنَا. He said, but we were with the Prophet ﷺ on that night in Mecca, and we lost him, and we were unable to find him. He said, فَالْتَمَثْنَاهُ فِي الْأَوْدِيَةِ وَالشِّعَابِ. So we looked for him in the passageways and between يعني, the mountain passages. He said, فَقُلْنَا أَسَيْتَرَ أَوْ أُغْتِيلِ. And so we said, perhaps someone has overpowered him or he has been kidnapped. He said, مَا فَعَلَ بِهِ أَوْ مَا فُعِلَ بِهِ. What has happened to him? فَبِتْنَا بِشَرِّ لَيْلَةٍ بَأْتَ بِهَا قَوْمٍ. He said, and so we went to sleep and we slept the worst night any people have ever slept. We slept the worst night any people. He said, Messenger of Allah, what has happened to him? He said, so we slept the worst night any people have slept. فَلَمَّا كَانَ فِي وَجْهِ الصُّبْحِ أَوْ قَالَ فِي السَّحَرِ إِذَا نَهْنُ بِهِ يَجِيءُ مِنْ قِبَلِ الْحَرَّى. He said, and then when the morning came, we saw him approaching from the Harra, which is yani some of the outskirts or the areas among the or in the outskirts of Mecca, yani of the city. فَقُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْنَاكَ فَطَلَبْنَاكَ فَلَمْ نَجِدْكَ. They said, O Messenger of Allah, we lost you and we went to find you and we couldn't see you. فَبِتْنَا بِشَرِّ لَيْلَةٍ بَأْتَ بِهَا قَوْمٍ. He said, and so we spent the worst night any people have spent. فقال, and so he responded, إِنَّهُ أَتَانِي دَاعِيَ الْجِنِ. He said, indeed, I was brought or I was called by the da'i. And here, the da'i is a reference to the one that was sent by them to bring the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, فَذَهَبْتُ مَعَهُ فَأَتَيْتُهُمْ فَقَرَأْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ الْقُرْآنِ. He said, and so I went with him and I approached them and I recited the Qur'an upon them. And again, ikhwan, we see, I recited the Qur'an upon them. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. And when we turn a group from among the jinn to you, listening to the Qur'an. Walid ibn al-Mughira, the da'wah the Prophet ﷺ gave to him, recitation of the Qur'an. So we see, ikhwan, throughout the da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ, there's an emphasis of reciting the Qur'an upon the people. And the effect of the Qur'an that is evident in these narrations. Now, he mentions, فَقَرَأْتُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنَ. So I recited the Qur'an upon them. فانطلق بنا فأرانا آثارهم وآثار نيرانهم.
He said, so the Prophet ﷺ went with us to the place that they were in, and he showed us their traps, yani in the ground, and he showed us the remain or the residue of their fire. He said, وَكَانُوا سَبْعَةَ نَفَرٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ النَّصِيبِينَ. He said, and they were seven individuals from Nasibin. He said, فَجَعَلَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رُسُولًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ. He said, and so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made them rusul. He made them ambassadors to their people. Yani sending them with the da'wah, which indicates that they accepted the message. And that is present, ikhwan, and that is clear in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, since the ayah it mentions, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. When we turn a group from the jinn towards you, يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, listening to the Qur'an, when they were present at its recitation, they said, listen. يعني be quiet, أَنْصِتُوا, listen. When it was finished, they turned to their people as warners. And that is present here in the narration, that Prophet ﷺ, as Ibn Mas'ud, he mentions, فَجَعَلَهُمْ رُسُولًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ. He made them messengers to their people. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, قَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا كِتَابًا أُنزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ وَإِلَىٰ طَرِيقٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ يَا قَوْمَنَا أَجِيبُوا دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ وَآمِنُوا بِهِ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ وَيُجِرْكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. That they, after they went back to their people warning, they said, oh, our people, respond to the caller of Allah. He will forgive you your sins. And He will save you from a burning or from a severe torment. And that then indicates that they were believers, and they went back and gave da'wah to their people. Naam. And so the narration, or what occurs in the variant version of the narration, is that Ibn Mas'ud, he mentions that the Prophet ﷺ recited upon them Surah Ar-Rahman. The Prophet ﷺ recited upon them Surah Ar-Rahman, min awwaliha ila akhiriha, fasakatu. He recited Surah Ar-Rahman upon them from its beginning to its end, and they were quiet. They remained silent. He said, فقال لقد قرأتها على الجن ليلة الجن. Prophet ﷺ, he said that I recited it upon the jinn on the night of the jinn. And the night of the jinn was the night that Prophet ﷺ, this night that he sat with them and gave them da'wah. فَكَانُوا أَحْسَنُوا مَرْدُودًا مِنْكُمْ كُلَّمَا أَتَيْتُ عَلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ قَالُوا لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِّن نِعَمِكْ رَبَّنَا رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبْ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. He said that they indeed responded with the best response that a people could respond with. Every time I came to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? They responded by saying, none of those favors, O our Lord, will we deny, and to you is praise. And the narration is collected in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi and elsewhere, and is declared Sahih by Sheikh Nasir in Sahih al-Jami'. And so the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah, ikhwan, spread even among the jinn. And we're going to see in a lengthier narration next week, bi-idhnillah, the manner in which the Prophet Wasallam gave da'wah to the jinn on another occasion. An interesting hadith. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.